This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Come his wife in. How we doing? 402 on this Monday morning, getting the week started. 888-808-1019. We got you for another hour until the warm-up show comes your way at 5. We got Fliegelman on the other side taking your phone calls for another hour. We open with the Knicks off another just embarrassing loss to the Boston Celtics. 118-105, and that doesn't tell the story. You know what tells the story? Plain and simple. 38-19 in the first quarter. 38 points allowed in the first quarter. Doubled up a 19-point deficit after one. After an embarrassing loss Friday night against the Cavs. After talking about how these two games, Friday and Sunday against the two best teams in the East, were going to be a tentpole moment on where this team is, where this season is, who the Knicks are. And after getting embarrassed Friday night, I needed a far better effort out of the New York Knicks than they gave in the first quarter of this game against Boston. And I don't care that Mitch Robinson still isn't back. Like, he's going to help them from getting blown out by Boston. Is he going to help them defensively? Sure. Over the course of the year, can he help them win a couple of games? Yeah. Can he help them secure the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference? Maybe. Is he good enough and impactful enough to change what's going on against the upper echelon teams in the NBA? No, he is not. And I know OG's just coming back from injury, and Hart has a knee. I don't care. This coach, who all we talk about is the minutes. That's all we talk about. We don't talk about anything else. All we talk about is the minutes, please. And whether or not, and occasionally the thought process of is he the coach to get you over the limit, over the hump? Right, he's the kind of guy who gets you there, but does he get you over? Like Kenny Atkinson or Buck Showalter or some of these guys who have that moniker of getting you up to a certain point, and then you need to get a different coach to take you over the threshold. That's kind of been the two talking points. Specific basketball stuff, other than the rotation, we don't get on him for. But I got to tell you, I got a real problem with the strategy against Boston, how it looks exactly the same every time they play, no difference, getting beat. Now it's the in the three losses, it's over 60 points combined they have lost to the Boston Celtics. They're averaging more than 20 points a loss. And the defense looks exactly the same. And the way this game started was exactly how it started 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night. Poor shot selection and bricks lead to long rebounds and fast break points for the Celtics. They run the screen. The Knicks back off and don't fight through. Leads to open threes. They are a terrible perimeter defensive team. And this team needed to come out with a little bit of an attitude that last year's team had. And I've talked about over and over again how this team was going to be compared to last year's team. And how they had to go out and win games, but they also had to compete with last year's team because we never saw it come to fruition. right? Randle gets hurt, and then in the postseason, they're decimated by injuries even further, and we never got a real idea of what that team that was the best team in the NBA for a month last January, 2024, we never got to experience what that team could have done if whole. And this team is far more talented, and this team has, you know, Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns, and they can put up 130, 140 points at will when they have the offense going, and Kat spreads the floor and creates spacing and all that, and they are dynamic offensively, and they're one of the best offensive teams in the sport, but they don't have toughness, they don't play defense, they don't fight through screens, they don't attack the basket, and they do not play the kind of basketball that can win you games against the upper echelon teams. In fact, they're 0-7 against the three best teams in the NBA, against the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Thunder. They are 0-7, and they get their doors blown off. And I don't care they made it close. And I don't care that Jalen Brunson put on the Superman cape for, you know, 10 minutes in the third quarter and brought them back into the game and within, what was it, 6 or 7 points. Doesn't matter. This game was never in question. The Celtics never sweated it out. And after that run, and it got close, they're forced to put Jalen Brunson on the bench because he can't play forever in the start of the fourth quarter. And whoop, there goes that lead. And we could pick on a bunch of different guys, but we're going to start with the two new additions that changed this year's team compared to last year's team, Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns. I think OG has been awful, too. I know he's just coming back from a sprained foot. He's played two of these first three games out of the gate in the second half, but he looks slow, he looks tired, but I'm going to give him a break coming back from injury. But he is not the perimeter defender we needed that he was last year. He doesn't get to the basket. He doesn't create his own shot. He has occasionally hit a corner three and not play nearly as good a defense as he did last season. That's what OG Anunoby is right now, making a ton of money. And Mikal Bridges, who they gave up 5 first-round picks for, has been awful, has been timid, starts these games missing shots, and it doesn't get better. He never fights through a screen. He never attacks the rim, never looks for contact. I mean, this is a guy who leads the league in minutes played, or at least leads the Knicks for sure. I mean, the guy plays a ton of minutes. He played 28 minutes in this game. He played 28 minutes, 0 rebounds, and 0 free throws attempted. He is averaging 1.1 free throws per game. There is no FU attitude. They walked into this game knowing they get their ass kicked, and they know this. They talked about it on their podcast about the Oklahoma City game, about what it means to get your doors blown off against the best teams in the NBA. And now it's become a theme. Now it's the only way these games go. And particularly to start, they come out with no edge, no urgency, no desire, no toughness, no fight. And I'm starting to put it on the coach, as well as OG Anunoby, as well as Karl Anthony Towns, who scored 0 points in the first quarter. You look at his line, and he's got 18 rebounds, and he scored 24 points, and he hit 3 of 4 from downtown, and he shot 9 out of 20 from the field. And you say, hey, look, there's a lot of guys to get on instead of him. You know what? You watch the game. While the game was falling apart, Brunson was the only one scoring, and Karl Anthony Towns gave you zip. He didn't score a basket until about 4 minutes left in the second quarter. I mean, this game was over in the first quarter, man. And the intensity they came out with was embarrassing. And right now, they have a big question mark. And right, I don't know how you can consider them a real contender anymore. We thought it. And you know what? Let's be honest. We'll probably be fooled again. They'll probably go on a nice little winning streak, right? Let's you know, they'll probably figure out a way to fool us again. They'll go on a six-game winning streak. They'll win 8 of 10. They'll do something. I don't know. They'll figure out a way. Karl Anthony Towns will go nuts. Mikal Bridges will score 40. You know, there'll be a spot here. They'll beat L.A., Sacramento, Portland, San Antonio now, Charlotte, Washington. There's Dallas without, you know, with their injuries. So, I mean, that's a nice little run they'll go on. And they'll win the 3 seed, and they'll be one of the best teams. And maybe we'll fool ourselves into thinking, hey, maybe. But the fact of the matter is they don't belong with the Boston Celtics. They don't belong with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they don't belong with the Oklahoma City Thunder. and they continue to prove it every day. And they have a real problem with Karl Anthony Towns in these big games. He's been great all year, and he's tried to fight this, and I think he's done a good job of fighting the moniker of soft and weak. I think he's played really hard. I think he's been better defensively. Still not great and was not good in this game. Still is his major issue. But his spacing, what he's done early on, his spacing and his ability to get OG Anunoby involved offensively, I felt was a lot on him. Like, it gives you another option late in games. He's been able to get to the rim. I think he's played tougher going at the basket than he did in Minnesota. Like, I think he started to, like, get rid of some of that weak moniker. But in big games, even as a New York Knick, he has been awful. He was awful in this game to start it in the first half. He was awful Saturday night a couple weeks ago against them. He has just not shown up in the biggest of games. And Bridges, for someone they, you know, traded five first-round picks for, I mean, he's just not giving you enough. He's not shooting well enough. He's not defending well enough. He's not attacking at all. He doesn't attack. He avoids contact. He runs from it. One foul shot per game. One. That was an embarrassing performance from the Knicks. And then you got the other basketball team in town, the St. John's Red Storm, who took care of the Huskies again, beat UConn at MSG last night, and are now one win away from securing at least a tie for the Big East in regular season championship. They're going to be the one seed in the Big East tournament, and the biggest thing that we have seen from this team as they are getting better, and even last year's team was getting better at this time, they are starting to shoot the basketball much better. They shot the three at a 40% clip last night as they were blowing UConn out of the building. That's what they need. We know what they are defensively. We know how they're mentally tough. We know what Pitino has done with this team and this group. But they have been unable to shoot the basketball at any, and especially from behind the line, at any real, good clip that would make them a threat in the tournament. And if that's going to start to change, and it has over the last couple games, and last night again, 43% from behind the arc. If you play their kind of defense and you find a way to hit your threes, that's what the tournament is built on. Tournament is built on guard play, defense, three-point shooting. That's how you win these games. And they've got the head coach. God knows they've got the coach who can do it. They've got the athleticism and the defense to do it. And if the shots are falling, they're as dangerous as, you know, any team in the country this side of maybe Auburn and Duke. So right now is exciting times. I mean, listen, if they win one more game, they are guaranteed a part of a Big East championship. They haven't done that since the early 80s. We're talking 40 years. And Pitino's done it in 2 years. It's really remarkable. It's an incredible story. It's going to be a big story as we get into the Big East tournament, as we get into the NCAA tournament. They're earmarked for like a 3 seed. And they have a legitimate chance with the way they play. They play a hard-nosed brand of basketball that is not fun to go against. They are not a fun team to play. They are a difficult team to play. They're willing to fight you. They have the attitude that the Knick team is desperately missing. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
Chris McMonagle. How you doing, man?
Good, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing okay. It was. You were right, man. It was sad to watch the first half of that game with the Knicks today. I mean, it was over literally before it started. When it comes to Cleveland, when it comes to the Boston Celtics, I'm sorry, man, but it does not look good. Let's be optimistic, though. Let's see what happens down the line. I wanted to ask you something, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler had a fallout, obviously, with Pat Riley.
Yeah.
It was a ugly breakup. You remember how Jimmy Buckets played against Boston. What do you believe would have happened if the New York Knicks would have grabbed, done everything to get Jimmy Butler on this squad? on this team.
Yeah, I
look at what he's doing at Golden State.
No, I know. And listen, he's a great player, and he's a money player, and he shows up. You know, he's. It's tough to keep him happy for long, but there's no doubt what kind of basketball player he is and what he means to a team and how he, you know, how he plays in the postseason, especially. So without knowing what the trade is and what they would have given up for him, yeah, they'd make him better. He's a great basketball player. If you just put him on this team, I guess you put Hart on the bench, which probably makes sense and where he's probably best suited. I think this team would be a much better, more dangerous team. There's no doubt. But that didn't happen. And I can't, you know, we could talk about it, but it's not reality. The reality is they got to find a way to beat Boston without Jimmy Butler. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, you know, bro.
I'll say something quick about the whole shave gate. Give me a break, everyone. You know, I think it's just a matter of things change. People change. The Yankees had to change. I don't think it's a big deal, but people talking about it, guess because it's not season. I mean, it's something to talk about, but yeah. Give me a break. There's nothing else to talk about a beard. I mean, come on.
I never thought it was like this. I never viewed it. First of all, people talk, even Johnny, I played a clip of Johnny Damon, who's against getting rid of the rule. He wants the tradition back of clean shaven and haircut. But like people keep saying, you know, oh, it's the history of the Yankees. It's Joe DiMaggio. It's Babe Ruth. It's Lou Gehrig. Those guys. The rule was instituted in 1976. All right, it's a George Stein.
No one knows.
It's not a Yankee rule. It's a George Steinbrenner rule. And
I was told they'll never win again. They'll never win a World Series again because they have facial hair. This is what I hear from a Met fan. I mean, come on.
Met fans are. Here's the problem with Met fans. They're not happy with what they have. They got Juan Soto. They have one of the best teams in baseball. They have the richest owner in the sport and a young executive who's made a bunch of really smart moves, and the franchise is in stable footing. But that's not enough. They need to feel like they have put the Yankees in some sort of, you know, box where they'll never recover from. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, yeah, so now
we'll be back. Every year we'll be back.
They were in the World Series last
year. That's the way it is. We're the Yankees. We'll be back. So I got something.
Yes.
Jay Wright. He either needs to come and coach this team, or Cat and Bridges have been the two biggest mistakes we can make, and that's all on our GM. I don't think the defense has ever shown up this season at all. We're all excited about 135 points, but the reality is this team beats no one on the offensive side. This team wins when it plays defense, and I haven't seen that team play. Bridges and Cat are killing me. Bridges, like 5 first-round draft picks. He's a stiff. And this is raw, you know. These are just, and I think, you know, we should have been able to shake it up a little bit. We just didn't have any pieces for that trade down to Miami to get Butler because of Bridges. So our hands were tied. We couldn't get him, even if we wanted him. But we have what we have. Let's see if Mitch helps. But there has to be a different strategy on defense because you and I could be maybe scoring the Knicks in the first 5 minutes of the game. My point is, something's wrong. You got to lock it down early because it takes them out of the whole game.
No.
They'll never come back.
No, absolutely. And that's the problem of these. Yeah, and I don't know what's gone on defensively. Again, a lot of the first quarter was bad shots, bad shot selection offensively and missed shots leading to rebounds and fast break points for the Celtics. Their screens give the Knicks problems because they don't fight through them. They play back on them. Which is something that I think they need to reassess how they play the Boston Celtics for sure. I don't know. I'm not ready to call Karl-Anthony Towns a mistake. I think that's a bit short-sighted. I know he hasn't played well in the biggest of games. I know. They are still the 3 seed. They had the best first half they've had in forever. And they do score. And when you say they don't beat teams, they do beat teams by scoring a lot of points. I mean, they have. You know, they beat Houston scoring 124. They beat Indiana scoring 128, 149 to 148 against Atlanta. They didn't win that game playing defense. 140 to over Milwaukee. They scored 140. They are winning and gave up 106 to Milwaukee. I mean, it's not like they're dominating defensively. When they win, they score. 143 over Memphis, 122 over Denver. Like, they've beaten some good teams. They can't beat the best teams. And I do think that Karl Anthony Towns has really done a great job. He's a starter in the All-Star game. Like, I think we're a bit short-sighted to just call him a disaster. I think that's a bit unfair, considering how great he's been all year. And I do think, you know, Bridges is... He's really puzzling right now. Is he a stiff? I mean, he's not shooting the ball very well, and he's not playing defense like I thought he would. And to start the game, you could tell early on, if he doesn't have his shot, he's timid. He doesn't go to the basket at all. He needs to get to the foul line, get some easy points. It's the NBA. Go to the basket. So I'm puzzled by what he's done. He's still trying to find his role in some ways and change, you know, understand what his dynamic is on this team. You would have thought it would happen by now. It hasn't. I'm still hoping it can, even if it's not just this year, even next year, hopefully it can. Like, at some point, he's supposed to be the third best scorer on the team. That's got to happen. And I think Karl Anthony Towns has played really well a lot of the year. He has not played well against Boston. I get it. But let's not try and make it seem as if it's been an absolute disaster with Karl Anthony Towns, because it hasn't been. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, it's Father McMonico. What's happening,
man? What's going on? How are you?
All right, you did the spin of the wheel, but let me get on a couple of things. All right, first of all, I hope you're happy. Are you happy? I get you 2 hours on the morning show with the teeth thing and the bike thing. You know, me and Brett get you on the morning show. You realize that, right?
Well, I mean, I like to think I have a role in it, but sure, it's all you.
Yeah, of course you have a role in it. You know, listen, Jerry didn't call you for no reason, right? Jerry says he likes your show. Me and Brett are a big part of the show.
That's true. That's
true. Okay. But the one thing that's unbelievable.
I'm not sure how much Jerry actually likes the show. He just heard his name mentioned and felt like calling in that day, but I'll take it.
You know, and then I'm listening to them passing you over on the bike tour, and they went after Al. Did you know they gave Al Cintron like a commander's helmet? Now they want to rope him into doing the bike tour thing. This Gio, something special, man. He's taking gifts from Boomer and giving it to other people. And what is Boomer doing? Subsidizing his income?
Eddie, why are you so obsessed with the morning show? You say you just went on
a rant
about
that.
You just went on a rant.
Can I answer?
Let me just say one more thing, though. Because you just called up and talked about what a big part you are of my show, but all you do is call me up and talk about the morning show.
Yeah, because those guys trick everybody up, man. They're always they gave a Commanders hat to Al Cintron.
Okay,
now they want him to jump through
hoops. He's a Commanders fan.
Yeah, but then now they want him to do the bike tour and jump through hoops for it. The problem is the Gio giving a gift through a backdoor policy, man. What is Boomer, his little gift giver? I don't understand this, man. How many gifts did Carton used to get? We have to go a history of. I don't remember the gifts Carton got.
No, so, hold on. I'll take an inventory of all the gifts exchanged between the morning show and the last 15 years.
Well, I've been listening
because that's very interesting,
bro. I don't remember Carton saying I got a gift of this and I got it. Jerry Recco has a car with 500,000 miles on it. You know that? 500,000 miles.
Eddie, what do you do all morning, man? He's got a car with 500,000 miles on it. Great. Good for him. I wish I have a Subaru right now. I'd sign to make it to 500,000 miles. Probably needed a new timing belt, a couple of different things. It's not easy to get to 500 miles. Good for him. Is it that little car with the Rutgers sticker? 500 miles? Wow. I remember the day I was walking, I don't know if he'll remember this. I mean, I'm sure he'll remember the day. I don't think he'll remember I was there, but I think he had an incident. He was parked outside of Astoria, and someone broke into his car or smashed his window up. And I remember walking out. Me and Eddie were walking out, and he was there, like, picking up glass off the... For some reason, I've seen Jerry in his car a bunch. Jerry, I helped him change a tire or something in the front. He couldn't change his tire was stuck or something. I vaguely remember that. And outside of Astoria, parked right along the side where we used to have this back entrance we used to walk out through. Right there, his car was parked and someone smashed up his window. That's probably a lot of stories in that $500,000 mile car. A lot of stories. I had one yesterday. And speaking about Al, I said this yesterday. When I did my show, the one thing, Al does a great job. A lot of his, life observations crack me up, but the one I just totally, I can't get on board with, and I hope it's not portrayed as a fat, lazy take, because I'm not saying this is a fat, lazy person, because I don't mind pumping my own gas, but the idea that it bothers you that other people pump your gas is mind-blowing to me. Like, it's 10 degrees outside. Are you literally annoyed that you can't get out of the car and go pump your own gas? Like, that bothers you? Like, there are times, sure, I wish I could, right? I suppose. I don't like, if it's just, I don't like what's being told to do, but I pulled in to the, 2 days ago, or Friday night, or whatever it was, so 3-4 days ago, I pulled into the gas station. It was so cold outside that I couldn't roll down the window to hand the guy my credit card and tell him what I wanted. I had to get out of, that's how cold it is. I'm thankful for New Jersey and that they pump the gas for you. And it's cheaper than New York. You're getting cheaper gas and they're pumping it for you. There's a lot of things to complain about. We still got drones over the ocean, Al. I think you should be thankful that you don't have to get out of the car and pump your own gas. Cause, and to be totally honest with you, the other day I pull in and, you know, I'm terrible hours. So I'm driving in, it's 12:30 at night, 1:30 in the morning, whatever. And I pull into the gas station and the guy is asleep, dead asleep. And I'm honking and I'm honking. And I had to get out and knock on the glass to wake the guy up to pump my gas. So on situations like that, yes, if I had to get out anyway to wake the guy up, I wish I could have just left him sleeping and go pump my own gas. But I'm a fan of pumping gas in New Jersey. Let me stay in my warm car. Listening to Eddie on the Rewind go through all the different gifts that the morning show has exchanged throughout the years. Like, he's one hell of a character, man. These guys. First, he wants to take credit for my show. I'm a huge part of the show. Let's talk about the morning show. It's a bit ironic. Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Hey. I've been watching the Knicks, and one thing that nobody seems to talk about, one big difference between this team and last year's team, particularly defensively,
yeah,
they don't have Hartenstein anymore.
Correct.
And Hartenstein used to clog up the middle. He was a reasonable rim protector. One thing I always wondered is, they could have held on to Hartenstein if they didn't get Bridges, right? I mean, they could have fit him under the cap.
No, probably OG. Without OG, they probably could have kept Hartenstein.
That would have been the choice. Because what's Bridges getting a year?
I don't know his contract off the top of my head, but it's not that much money. He was still under the previous contract. They gave up five
draft choices. Five, so draft picks, the money doesn't work out.
I don't think his contract, and maybe Fleece can look at it real quick for me. I don't think his contract's crazy.
Hartenstein's not cheap, but he's not crazy either.
No,
right?
But
he
got a pretty good piece of change, Hartenstein. There's a lot of difference between this team and that team. And clearly, Hartenstein was able to. He's not the same offensive player that Karl Anthony Towns is, but he is able to pass the. He was able to pass the ball. I think he helped the team offensively far more than Mitchell Robinson did, and you felt that the minute Mitch went down and Hartenstein came in. You tell me, good. I know you want to.
Well, and just remember, with Hartenstein, there was a maximum amount of money the Knicks were allowed to offer.
Correct. Right. There's a maximum.
They couldn't offer him the contract the Thunder did.
Right. So no matter what they did, it wasn't a matter of even getting rid of OG Anunoby. There was a limited number that they could offer him, and they weren't going to keep him. And that, it was like a well-known, like, they were going to have to. I thought there was, if they traded Mitch, I thought we had that discussion where if you trade Mitch, it makes it possible. I don't know how that would affected anything, but I remember kind of having that discussion.
Yeah, and on that day, like, when free agency started, I remember working with the morning show, and we got the news. The hope was, well, maybe Hartenstein loved being a Knick so much that he'll take the short, I think it was shorter term, maybe higher AAV, but it was definitely shorter and less money overall. Thought maybe he would want to stay with the Knicks that much, and the Thunder offered him a great contract.
They offered him a great contract, and he's obviously helping that team to be the best team in the NBA right now, the best team in the West for sure. And, yeah, listen, he helped them a lot. The minute Mitch went down and he came in, not as good a defensive player as Mitch, but handled his business and was helped the offense immensely. His ability to pass, hit that little kind of like high-arcing one-handed jumper that he hit. Like, he was a big help. Now, Karl Anthony Towns is a far better offensive player. Karl Anthony Towns can shoot. Karl Anthony Towns can even get to the basket, has moves around the basket that far surpass Hartenstein. He just can't. And I think early on, he was helping OG Anunoby become a much better offensive player and was helping his teammates, but he can't defend. He's not a rim protector, even at his size. He's not a big defensive player, but he is a talented guy. The problem is he played awful against Boston both chances. Joe and Merrick, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Good morning. I just wanted to see, I've been seeing all these reports about Vlad coming to the Yankees. Mm-hmm. What about what you mentioned in the past about Kyle Tucker?
Yeah. I think Tucker, I'll put it this way, Joe, and thank you for the call. I'm up against the break here. If Vladimir Guerrero or Tucker aren't on this team next year, it's a major failing by the New York Yankees. And I like Tucker. I think Tucker probably fits the ballpark a little bit better. Left-handed hitter. And especially if opt out from Bellinger, that's you put him right in the outfield and you've got Dominguez, Tucker, and Judge moving forward. I think Tucker's a great player. I think both are really good. Now, there are some reports. Listen, the Yankees are going to have some money coming off the books, right? You assume under those circumstances, Bellinger opts out, so his 25 comes off the books. There's no first baseman. Goldie's $12 million comes off the books. Jazz is a free agent, whatever, you know, money he's making, which isn't a ton in arbitration, but a good, nice enough chunk. That money comes off the books. Giancarlo Stanton goes from $32 million to $19 million next year. So that's, you know, $12, $13 million off the books. There's a lot of money coming off the books for next year. So theoretically, they should be in the mix for big-time free agents. Devin Williams won't be here. He'll hit free agency. And I guess now there's a chance to bring him back that he's going to be able to keep his beard. But his money, theoretically, is coming off the books if they don't re-sign him. So there's a lot of money coming off the books. And there's reports that the Yankees are going to be in on both. That obviously there's the first base big-time prospect in Japan, and then there's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at first base. So there are reports that people believe, I think Joel Sherman wrote about it, like that the Yankees are going to get one of those two first basemen, either Vlad or the player in Japan, and Tucker. I'll have to see it to believe it, but there is enough money coming off the books where if the Yankees are determined, and depending on how this season ends and where they are money-wise, and I could easily see that. But Hal Steinbrenner's got to show me that, because right now Hal's talking, hey, $307 million, what do you want from me? Too bad we don't have a third baseman. I'm not spending any more money. Oh, would you quit asking me about the money? Here you go. I'm getting rid of the beard rule. Quit asking me about third base. Here you go. No more Frank Sinatra. No more New York, New York after losses. Here, focus on that. Kick that around for a while. Don't ask me about third base anymore. I mean, if I'm being cynical, that's you want to ask why this is about? Oh, it's about Juan Soto. Oh, it's about the Yankees trying to stay relevant. Oh, it's about this antiquated old rule that the players hate, and they know they can miss out on free agents. Oh, it's about this. It's about that. It could be about, hey, we didn't make the World Series last year. We lost Juan Soto, and I'm cutting payroll, and everybody's pissed about it. Let's give the fan, we've listened to the fan. They want to get rid of the beard rule. Let's do that. Oh, we've listened to the fan. They want to get rid of playing New York, New York after losses. Let's give them that. Maybe they'll shut up about third base. 888-808-1019. That's a cynical version of C-Mac, and I don't like it, but it's very plausible.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
what's going on? 4:39 on this Monday morning, 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too cynical, but it is weird that it comes out all at once here. I mean, listen, I understand the beard rule. They talked to Devin Williams. It's plain and simple. It had nothing to do with Juan Soto. They talked to Devin Williams. He made it clear he was unhappy with the rule right now. You know, I'm sure they know how much they need him, and they need him to be successful and feel comfortable. And if he didn't feel comfortable, plus he told them that in free agency, it's something that's going to play a role in his mind. They've had other circumstances where this came up, and I also think the fan base has a lot to do with it. I bet you, if you asked Hal Steinbrenner 5 years ago about getting rid of the beard policy, I bet you his response would be, "Oh, the fans won't like it. The fans like the tradition. The fans." I bet you there was that feeling with the Yankees where now it's been kind of prevalent and obvious that the fans are behind getting rid of it. And I think that's part of, and that's why you're seeing the Frank Sinatra thing too. They're listening to the fans more than they were before. And that's a reason, you know, God knows Steve Cohen gets praised for it. And Al Steinbrenner has been praised for it. The fans love it. I don't really, I would only, and I know this is, it's silly, right? So just get rid of the, I don't mind it during the course of the regular season. I really don't. To me, it's almost like, you know, Yankee Stadium is a special place. And yes, and this speaks to a lot of Met fans who say a bunch of nonsense about, hey, you see someone in a Met hat, you know they're a Met fan. You see someone in a Yankee hat, it means they're visiting New York. Yeah, whatever. They do get a lot of people who go to the, if you're going to go to a game, if you're in town, you want to go to one baseball game, sorry, Met fans, deal with it. I know you don't care, right? Most people would choose a Yankee game. So I do think playing New York, New York at the end of a Yankee game has gone beyond representing a win or a loss. It's just what happens. The game ends. We say goodbye with the Frank Sinatra New York, New York, New York song. And I do think there's charm in it. And I do think on a June 10th loss to the Kansas City Royals, I don't have a problem leaving the building listening to New York, New York. It's fine. It's never bothered me as much as apparently as it's bothered every fan. Having said that, do I like leaving the building and watching the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers celebrate in the middle of Yankee Stadium while New York, New York is playing? No, I guess I don't. I guess it's the level of loss that gets me. So in the playoffs, and certainly if someone's celebrating, like they don't have to celebrate to our music. The lining up and shaking hands in August, the Baltimore Orioles beat the game, you know, win a game in August against the Yankees, and they play New York, New York. To me, that's just tradition and the song they play at the end of the game. I don't necessarily associate it with wins or losses almost. It's just the game is over. We all exit to New York, New York. But I do admit, I don't like seeing teams celebrate while the music is playing. So playoff laws, I think it's one of the, it should be a overtime rule. It should be a playoff rule. In the playoffs, you don't play it. But the regular season, I don't know. Like if you're from out of town or you have your relatives coming in from out of town, and you're like, hey, let's go to the Yankee game. I don't know how much of it is that much in tradition that people want to hear it, but it's kind of like Yankee Stadium, New York, New York, Frank Sinatra. Like, I came here for one game. I don't really care so much that the Yankees lost in July. Tough one. It happens. I want to hear the music as I leave. Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't consider it I don't think of it as a victory song. I think of it as this is what they play at the end of Yankee games. But having said that, I have to admit I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I don't like watching the Houston Astros celebrate while New York, New York plays. I don't like watching the Los Angeles Dodgers celebrate winning a championship while New York, New York plays. So I don't really care. I view both of these rules exactly the same. If they would have kept the beard rule, I would have been fine. I don't think it's something that needed to happen. I really don't think they're not going to sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I don't think Vlad's going to say, I'd love to take your $450 million, Hal, but I hate shaving. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal with the major free agents. But if it's something that gets in your way at all, it's certainly not worth keeping it over, so. 888-808-1019. Bernadette in Oceanside. Hello, Bernadette.
Hi, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, very good.
Very good?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
I can't remember the last time I was very good.
Well, you should hang out with me sometime.
I guess I should.
Well, I happen to like the clean-shaven look.
Okay.
I know a lot of people don't, and they think people should do what they want to do, and, mm-hmm. you know, but... I also wanted to ask you, doesn't Vladimir Guerrero's father have like a thing, like a hatred for the Yankees, and that's where all this
is
coming from?
I don't know if Vlad Sr. has a hatred for the New York Yankees. There is the story that Brian Cashman talked about in the most recent book by Andy Martino, where they had a deal with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Brian Cashman wanted to sign Vladimir Guerrero, not Junior, I'm sorry, Vladimir Guerrero, after the 2003 season, before the 2004 season, and he had a deal ready to go. They were going to sign it. It was down to, like, almost just the physicals, and then at the last minute, George came in and nixed it because he wanted to sign Gary Sheffield instead. So there was a moment in time where Vlad thought he was going to be a Yankee, and then it fell apart strictly because the owner would rather have Gary Sheffield. I don't know the ill will that he harbors for it, but apparently that is something that it's enough where his son feels a certain way about it. So that is the story, though. They had a deal signed. He was going to be a Yankee in 2004. He ends up going to the Angels instead, winning an MVP, and being an overall much better player than Gary Sheffield. So that's what happened.
Yeah. As far as New York goes, yes. I'm with you. I love it when they play it at the end of a game. I think it is fabulous. I love Frank Sinatra. I think a lot of people come here to actually go to Yankee Stadium, see the stadium, you know, have the experience. Because it's nothing against the Mets. It's, right. You know, I feel like the Yankees are a brand, and they're known like the Dallas Cowboys, you know. And I just think that people would rather come to see the Yankees than the Mets.
Well, yeah, right now, yes. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt they sell better, but that's not even the point. The point is that this is a tradition. And I do think that people who would come here to just go to a Yankee game to go to a Yankee game want to hear Sinatra. Now, they're playing Sinatra, That's Life, which is another great song. And so you'll still hear Sinatra either way when you leave the building. But I guess maybe I'm just different. I don't know. I've never viewed it as Yankees win. Here's Sinatra. Like I know Keith says play Frank when they win. They play Frank all the time. So I've never, like, I don't know why we associate it with victories. They always played it after every single game. Like, I've never really associated it with winning. I associated it with, okay, get the hell out of here. Like, that's what they win, the music, they win, they lose, doesn't matter, the game's over, music plays, I'm walking out listening to Frank Sinatra. That's just the history of Yankee Stadium. That's what I've never necessarily considered it a win-loss thing. It's just they play music. That's the song they play. It's New York, New York. We're in New York. It's Yankee Stadium, the New York Yankees. They play Sinatra in New York, New York when we leave. It wouldn't bother me. It's never bothered me at all leaving a building except... And the only game I've been at where they lost, I'm trying to think if I've been at game-clinching losses, series-clinching losses. I don't think I have. The only one is the wild card in 2015 against the Houston Astros. That's it. That's the only game I think I was there for a loss, and the season ended that night. And I did not like watching the Astros and their fans celebrate while New York played. I'll give you that. So, to me, if it's a series ender, play something else. If it's August against the Minnesota Twins, I really don't care. John in Maspeth, what's up, John?
What's up, C Mac? I was gonna talk about this New York song, whatever. But you know what though?
Yeah,
I'm gonna talk about this. You ready?
Yeah.
32 days, baby. 32 days to opening day. Let's go.
32 days, baby. 32 days, and we are back. And now it's pretty much every day between. You know, all the different broadcast venues, all the different places you could try and watch it. If you buy the app I'm watching spring training every day, baby. Baseball is back as far as I'm concerned. 888-808-1019. Need a third baseman, and you better figure out left field there, Martian.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, another few minutes on The Fan. Got you till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. A lot of time on baseball. Did a little bit on the quarterbacks as well. As we spun the wheel at 3 a.m., the wheel of quarterbacks, to try and find a better option for the Jets than Aaron Rodgers. I still haven't found one yet. We're 4 days in, four different options. None of them as good as Aaron Rodgers. We'll find out if there's a better one. I'm sure it's out. It's not going to be from lack of looking. We're going to try every morning at 3 a.m. Try and find a quarterback better for the New York Jets than Aaron Rodgers. So far, 0-4. 888-808-1019. You know, I did something with Erica Herskowitz. I spoke to her class. She teaches a sports entertainment or, you know, sports entertainment class at Rutgers, and she asked me to speak to the kids, so I did a little thing, and they asked me a couple of things, and they asked me about one kid, I guess, was as young as he is, Mike and the Mad Dog fan, and he asked me about Francesa, and as I think back on my time with Mike, you know, one of the best shows, and obviously right now the Pope, unfortunately, is dealing with a little bit of a health issue, and, you know, we pray for his speedy recovery, but I remember the last time they had conclave and were searching for the next Pope. If unfortunately they're looking for another Pope, that's a Mike podcast must listen, because those were some of the, as we were waiting, I'll never forget that, running the board, Mike's, we're watching the Vatican, he's, is that white smoke or is that black smoke? Sitting there waiting to see what happens with the Pope with some of the, when Mike would do things like that and venture into world affairs, that was some of the most fun and best shows we did. Or I mean, we did. He did. But some of the more fun shows to be a part of. Because he was perfect in those scenarios. And watching the Vatican all day alongside the show was just something I'll never forget. That was really something else. He was enthralled with it. And like, it just made, it was like, it added to the coverage. We were like, half the show was about the new Pope. So I know he's taking a little bit of a break. I saw that he's taking a break on his podcast. He's going to have to cut that break short if need be, because we need that coverage. I'm just telling you now, we need it. 888-808-1019. Last few minutes before the end. I'll be with you tomorrow, normal time, 2 a.m. Today I was on a little early. I had you for an extra hour. Tomorrow, back to normal, 2 a.m. We'll have a lot to discuss. More baseball, more quarterbacks. We didn't really talk about the Rangers, who had a good bounce-back victory after the disaster that was the game in Buffalo. To bounce back against the Penguins after falling behind 1-0, after falling behind 2-1. The much maligned and much discussed Fox was able to come through with the game-winning goal after his comments that rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way about getting all excited, more excited for that tournament game against Canada than any other game he's played in. Well, he responded and scored a big goal, and that was a big win for the New York Rangers, who now find themselves, they actually gained a point. They are now 2 points out of a playoff spot. And have a lot of decisions to make. The deadline's a little bit, I think, less than 2 weeks away from deciding whether or not to add to this team or break it up. And last night, at least, was a step in the right direction for the New York Rangers. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m. Fliegelman on the other side. We'll spin the wheel at 3 a.m. We'll have a little bit of fun. Maybe I'll go on a beard strike or something. I don't know. We'll figure something out to get creative and have a little bit of fun as we take you through this week. I'm out. I'll catch you guys tomorrow at 2 a.m. The warm-up show is next. Everybody enjoy your Monday. Until then, bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.